Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast, episode 221, The Best Disney Filler Songs Ranked. Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, the number one place to get your animation fix with animation addicts just like you. Each episode, we dive into the wonderful world of animation featuring Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, and everything in between. From hilarious discussions and movie reviews to interviews with industry insiders, this show's mission is to brighten your day through our love of animation. So hop on your nerdy couch, grab some snacks, and get ready to hang out with your animation besties because it's time to dive into today's episode. Hey there, animation addicts. My name is Chelsea Robson.
And I'm Morgan Stradling.
Morgan, we're going to talk some music today. We're jumping on the comfy couch. The nerdy couch discussion today is going to be all about the music that we listen to. And it all stemmed from the first question that one of our patrons sent us. Is there a Disney song you wish you'd written? And this was given to us by Rose. And
hey, Rose.
Hey.
Rose.
The thing is, like, when I heard this song, I would be like, well, the music lover in me just says, well, yes, all of the best ones.
All I of wish the Disney songs.
I wish that I would have written all of them because, dang, that's a lot of money. One. And then two, it's just like you are in the pantheon of expression of peoples. Mm-hmm. And that is amazing. So I didn't really feel like that would be a fair question.
Well, I'll answer it a little
okay,
bit.
Go for it.
Like, obviously, there's Disney songs you'd wish you'd written. You want the, from a financial perspective,
right.
You want the blockbusters, okay? So the Lopez's are rolling in the dough.
Yes.
Because of Let It Go, right? But
yes,
also all the other songs, but I think particularly Let It Go, if you were to take one song from Frozen, it's Let It Go, because that's the one that got played.
From the take one song from the last decade, it's going to be Let It Go.
Yeah. And then like a lot of the ones from, you know, the Renaissance, I think your best bet is the ones that give you like the 1-2 punch. For example, Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast. But it also gets played with the R&B remix at the end. So you're getting double duty, double dipping right there with the royalties, right? You know, Lion King, Can You Feel the Love Tonight? As long, you know, and then that also is played in the credits. So anything from, you know, those mega hits, I Can Show You the World. Basically, the big love numbers were the ones in the 90s that also got the R&B, like radio, you know, like I don't know why it's not cool for regular songs to be played on the radio from the movies, but it's like, oh, if we got like Celine Dion, cool, great, we're going to play it. And they did lots and lots. So another thing, one I think would just be fantastic is When You Wish Upon a Star, because I think Disney itself plays that every single day in their parks. So that
Holy
would be
crap,
just fantastic. Yeah, it's like every single fireworks show. And anything that like Disney has just like turned into the canon of like the Disney brand. Mm-hmm. For example, Zippity Doodah. Well, maybe not so much anymore with Splash Mountain going away, but I feel like that was kind of like a quintessential Disney song.
Yeah.
So yeah, the ones I'd wish I'd written, the mega popular ones that are still popular to this day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a very like short discussion because we can
we're done. Well, because we come at it from the angle of, what is my path to making the most money retrospectively looking at these songs?
Right.
You know, I'm sure other people when they analyze this, they're like, oh, this song because it means so much to me, or this song because it's such a classic. And I'm like, nope,
But you can argue, you can argue that because they're getting paid so much is because they have that much more effect on people that's being used in so many other ways. And so therefore you have even more influence because of the song that you wrote. It just gets used so much. And that's one way that you're able to like say, yeah, I wrote a really good song because a lot of people are able to get a lot of use out of it.
Yes.
So yeah, like it's, you know, 8 minutes later, we're done. So
that's, until next time.
See ya. So I decided that we would kind of like go in. And when we were first talking about this, we were like, okay, well, what other kind of song questions could we like go into? And as we were talking about these, we basically were like, okay, we need to extend this conversation a little bit. And so we are going to jump into the different songs that form a, like, mostly in movie musicals and the different songs and what they play a part in. And so we're going to be doing a series of these over the next couple Nerdy Couch discussions, which I'm totally stoked about. And we're going to jump more into that. But first, I know Morgan was, she was actually telling me about a book that she got, and it plays really well into, get it, plays really well into this conversation.
So I was watching a YouTube channel and the guy's name is Sideways and he's all about music in movies and he dissects, you know, music theory and different themes. And it's just so, so fascinating. And in one of his videos, he talked about this book called Understanding the Fundamentals of Music. And he's like, hey, I went to music school, but this book is fantastic. You should check it out. And basically whenever anyone recommends a book, immediately I add it to my Goodreads. I go check my Libby app, which is basically a digital library with my local library, and I request it. So this one, there was no one waiting for it, and I was shocked because this is one that I want to go back to again and again and again. It's called Understanding the Fundamentals of Music by Robert Greenberg, and this is done by Great Courses. And basically what this book is, it's basically a college course that they've turned into audiobook form, and it's specifically designed for audio. So he's teaching you these principles of music entirely auditorially. So you're not looking necessarily at music on a staff or notes, but the way that he's able to describe these principles is so, so good. And I grew up playing the piano and the violin. I played orchestra and I'm learning so much. I'm like, how come no one ever explained this to me or no one ever taught me this? And the instructor, Robert Greenberg, he is by far the best audiobook narrator that I've ever come across.
Really?
Except the exceptions are the Harry Potter books.
Oh my gosh.
He's hilarious. He's funny. So if you have any interest in learning about music and how it works, maybe you played an instrument, maybe you sing, I highly recommend Understanding the Fundamentals of Music. It's so good. I am blown away. I can't wait to listen to it again. So yes, I'm a big, big fan.
Sweet. I love it. All right. So Morgan turned me on to the YouTube channel Sideways, and he was going through a couple of the different songs and like within a movie musical, like what their purpose is. And I had never heard anybody explain it like this, and it made so much sense. So the first one you have, you generally have the exposition song. Many times it is like a full ensemble singing. So the ones I think about most is kind of like the Bells of Notre Dame, you know, the Bells of Notre Dame.
Yes.
And then you have the I Want song, which most people end up knowing about because, you know, you watch anything with Howard Ashman and he really hit hard on the I Want song, which is the main protagonist at the beginning of the show expresses the end goal that that person has. And then you have the villain song, which is oh so delicious. The villain song basically shares the antagonist's goal or path that they are already on and kind of is used as more of the I am song. That's one I had never heard explained that way, but I was like, no, that's totally right. You think of Scar. Okay, what is his, is this is his villain song? And he's like, this is what I am. And we're going to move forward. Or even
we're gonna move forward.
Well, like for whatever reason, like I'll
have my lawyers talk to your lawyers and we'll be moving forward with this.
I'm thinking of Scar, but like I'm hearing Gaston kill the beast, and I'm like, wait, these are totally different, and I can't move What was the song that Scar sang?
Be prepared.
Be prepared. There you go. But you know, both songs work as the I am, or this is the path that I'm already on. Kill the beast. And then you have a love song, and then you have the finale. And generally the finale is kind of like a big thing and it's fun. But then the problem is that most of the time they need a little extra time to fill, or like just let the story breathe, or maybe they just need to fill up a 6-song EP, which is why they bring in the filler song. And of all of the songs that we're going to choose to talk about today on the start of this series of what songs are the best of these categories in Disney movies, we are going to start with the best filler song in a Disney movie.
Woot woot. I love it. I'm excited for this because oodalali, there are a lot.
There are, actually, but there's not as many as you would think. So, as in all of my Nerdy Couch discussions that I pull out, I have to have rules, because if you're going to go through over 50 some odd movies,
which she did,
which I did, 60 movies, I went through all 60 soundtracks for each one of these films. And this was my Saturday.
Guys, before we get started, send Chelsea a coffee. Buy her a coffee. rotoscopers.com/buy Chelsea a coffee. Just give her a little something in the chip jar for doing the Lord's work for us.
this was a big deal. Yeah. So all of the original soundtracks I went through, and I had the rules, and my rules, because you're going through 60 of these, and you have to, not every movie is a movie musical. So that takes it down. But also not every movie musical has a filler song, at least not one that fits my criteria. So the criteria are as follows. The first one is the song must be written for the movie that it is in.
Okay.
So, for example, if you look at like Lilo and Stitch, you have a whole bunch of Elvis songs in there. These songs were not written for Lilo and Stitch. And so they cannot be used as, even though they may come out and they're maybe singing along with them, they don't progress the story at all. But at the same time, it was not written for this. So it doesn't count. Okay. It must have words, which means it cannot be an instrumental, because that would be a totally different category, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one is the song cannot move the plot forward. Like, if you were to take this song out, it would not matter. And you would still know.
My life is fine.
Your life is fine. It's a little sadder just because generally these are fun songs. But these are songs that I do not need in order to understand the story.
Yeah.
And then also, it cannot be a song that explains the character or their motives.
Okay.
And also, no credit songs, either at the beginning or at the end.
Because at that point, the movie's over. So.
Right. So it's no longer filler. It has a point. So out of these 60 movies, I found 20 filler songs.
Ooh, okay.
That we get to go through today.
So speaking of this, if you want to see the entire list of all 60 movies that Chelsea broke down, one of our patron perks is that you get access to our recording document. So if you join the club, join your new group of friends and become a patron, you can get access to this document right away. So you can check it out and see the ones that did not make the list. So go to rotoscopers.com/Patreon to check it out and to join the club.
All right. So the first one, I've narrowed it down, like I said, to about 20 different options. Now, Snow White, you had two options. You had the silly song, which is the dwarf's yodeling song, or you had the
yodel-a-doo.
Yeah, that one. And then we also have the bubble uddle dum, the dwarf's washing song. So both of those you could take out at any point in time.
Sorry, I'm going to sing for every single one of these. I'll do my own little version.
All right. So those are two. So I'm going to go through the top 20. And then you and I are going to pick our top five.
Okay.
And that'll be the show. And then other people, if you want to tell us what your top five are, then you can do that. Okay.
Okay.
So we got those two. And then from Dumbo, I thought Casey Jr., though I'm not sure if that one counts completely, because I'm not sure if that moves the plot forward.
Mm-hmm.
It sets up the plot, kind of.
That's an interesting one. Because it is moving the plot forward, where it's getting them to the circus.
Right.
But it's not necessarily about the circus.
Yeah. And it doesn't... Yeah, so I don't know. That's a maybe. All right, the next one is from Bambi, April Showers, which is one of my favorites. Drip, 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 little April showers. Sing, da-da-ding, da-da-ding, da-da-ding. And then we have Cinderella has the music lesson or the Oh Sweet Nightingale.
Sing, sweet nightingale.
Right, the terrible, terrible voice. And then it goes into her.
Oh, that's such a good one. That's a classic.
It is.
My favorite moment is where her finger gets stuck in the flute. You clumsy.
You did that on purpose.
Yep.
Okay. And then from Peter Pan, we have Following the Leader. We're following the leader, the leader.
Now, is that sort of like Casey Jr., where it moves the plot along in the fact that it takes them from point A to point B, where they end up getting captured? Oh, but they're not captured in the song.
No.
So they start off kind of like in the woods, and they end up, and at the end of that song, they're still in the woods, and then boom, they get captured. So yeah, okay, okay.
Because they could have just walked and been captured. Right. So, all right, the next one is Scumps, the drinking song.
Scumps, Scumps.
Da, 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 da. Our future,
our children will marry.
Our futures unite. It's so great.
Oh man, it just looks like we've been doing some scumps.
Yeah, we're recording this kind of late at night for us, so
it's 11 o'clock at night, FYI. So yeah, we might be a little drunk on sleep.
Yeah. Okay. And then the next one is from 101 Dalmatians. Canine crunchies can't be beat. They make each world a special treat. We world with canine crunchies.
That's awesome.
It's fabulous. All right. So Sword in the Stone has Higgidus Figgidus.
Higgidus Figgidus.
It's the one where he's packing up his suitcase. I'm not completely sure if this one, you know, explains the character. I don't think it does, though, because I think you can get the fact that he's a
wizard.
A wizard.
You're a wizard, Merlin.
Out of a lot of other things. So I think I'm just going to keep it in there. All right. And then the next one from The Jungle Book, we have the Colonel Harthy's March.
Nice. Love that one.
It's a good one. And then The Grey Mouse Detective, Let Me Be Good to You.
One of my favorite songs. Like that... Baby blue mouse singing her stuff and like captivating everyone. She was, I don't know what her name is, but she is, I gotta do a YouTube video on like favorite random side characters that have nothing to do with the plots in movies. Yes. Disney movies. I'm
dearest
not quite sure how you would categorize.
Listen to my song. Life down here has been hard for you. Life has made you strong, so let me lift the mood with my attitude. Hey, fellas, the time is right.
It's keep going, Chel.
I'm done now. But this is so fun. I shouldn't love this for whatever reason, but I do, and I'm
okay with
that. It's a little
sexy. It's a little, yeah, it's a little risque, I guess, for, you know, when we were watching it. I mean, nothing happens, but she takes off her skirt, and then she has, like, the bodysuit thing. Oh, man, it's so good.
It's so memorable and so great. Okay. Yes. The next one is from, we're getting into, these are all in order of appearance, obviously. The next one, we're going into The Little Mermaid. Le poisson. How I love le poisson. I put chop and I serve little fish. First I cut off their head and I spit out their bones. Oh, goodness. It's a good one.
Just a peach. Chop.
I've missed one.
See, I think the fact we're already narrowing down our list based on the song, the fact that we can just like sing the whole thing right here, unprepared. Right.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And then from The Lion King, we've got the luau.
Oh, I also was thinking, I've got a lovely lake. Oh, that doesn't count. That breaks the rules. because it wasn't written for this for that movie.
That's right. Yes, that's right. And I don't know. So Luau song, it was definitely written for Pumbaa.
Definitely.
You gotta eat my Pumbaa here because he's a treat. Ah, you aching? Yum, yum, yum. For some bacon. Yum, yum, yum. He's a big pig.
You could be a big pig too. Oi! Oi!
There you go. Ah! Okay. The next one in order of appearance was from a Goofy movie, Lester's Possum Park, which I have a very soft spot in my heart for.
Oh, yes. Link in our show notes for Chelsea's very special appearance in this song.
Yes. One of my friends decided to make a live action version of this song and actually got the voice characters to come out from their respective locations, homes, to Arizona to play Goofy and Max. So it was fabulous. And I got to meet them, hang out, and we're besties now. We're not, but I feel like we are.
And also we did one of our most recent episodes was her candid conversation that she had with each of these guys and the filmmaker. So really, really cool episode. Check it out. The episode number is rotoscopers.com. Wow, it's a long time ago. The episode number is rotoscopers.com/213 to check that one out.
Yes. And if you are a patron, then you get the extra long uncut interview with that one, which I thought was funny. Just putting that out there, throwing the bait. All right. So the next one is from Hunchback. And I don't know if this one goes along with my rules or not. It's A Guy Like You. And the reason why I'm not sure is because it does explain characters' motives, but it's not... I don't feel like you need it. Like you get that he likes her, you know?
Right.
And it's just the side characters singing this song to him, figuratively in his mind, maybe, because we're not sure if they're actually real or not. So I don't know, but I'm just going to leave it.
Right.
I'm just going to leave it and say it is a filler song, was not needed. And therefore, there you go.
The whole purpose of this song is the gargoyles are trying to convince him that he's worthy of her.
Mm-hmm.
So before this song happens, would the transformation be where does he realize I can totally pursue her, no problem? Is he at the same point before the song as he is after the song? Or is it through the song that he does
cozy
up to the idea of, hey, you're right. A guy like me can go for a girl like her.
Oh, yeah. But then his
hopes are... filler song.
Yeah.
A girl like her can never.
Yeah. But then it was like right after where she throws him into the friend zone completely. And it's like, oh. So I don't know. I guess, I think it does explain. It does.
A little bit.
Move it. Yeah. So we'll take that one off. It's no longer part of the filler songs. Okay.
Sorry, Quasi.
Sorry.
Always getting the short end of the stick.
So for Tarzan, we have Trashing the Camp, which is fun.
Oh, 100%.
Definitely not needed.
And there are lyrics in a way. I know you said it has to have lyrics, but they're not very...
it's all scat.
English. But it's just, it's just scat.
And our good old friends...
We don't need this... In sync
sang it for the remix version. Or was it the remix or was it the actual version?
Trash in the Camp is performed by Collins and In Sync. That's at the end credits. And in the song, it's Rosie O'Donnell and Collins. Oh, Mr. Phil Collins. Okay.
Gotta get your voice in there.
Which, by the way, if you do not follow Lance Bass on Instagram, he is a great, great follow. He's really trying to keep this millennial NSYNC vibe alive, and I'm here for it.
Awesome.
My favorite are the ones where he's just like playing on the fact that Justin wants nothing to do with NSYNC. He won't ever come back for a tour or reunion, a Skype gathering,
or even a phone
he's
call.
Like so cool. So like a lot of his TikToks and his Instagram videos are sometimes will like put salt in that wound for 10 minutes. Hilarious.
All right, so we've got next is Meet the Robinson. And I wasn't sure if this one had one, but I decided that the frog song with the we need some maracas I decided that that one was, and it's called Where Your Heart Is, or Where Is Your Heart At, that was a filler song. So then we're moving into The Princess and the Frog.
Love it.
And I decided the Gonna Take You There, which is a little like jive song, was a filler song. It wasn't one that I remember, but which is probably why it's a filler.
Hence the reason she's not singing it to you right now.
Right.
Unlike this next song.
Unlike this next song, which I'm also back and forth on. I'm not sure if this one is just a reinforcement of the plot points or if it's actually, because I don't think it's adding anything new. So Tangled, I've Got a Dream, where they stop. Mm. They stop in the Snuggly Duckling and everybody gets to sing I've Got a Dream, like what their dream is. And... Mm-hmm. You know, you get to meet all of these other people, but was it really, it wasn't.
It's explaining characters' motives. We already know her motive, but it definitely explains everyone else's motives. Like all of the pub guys.
Right. So we're probably going to have to take that one
Which does have a
out.
Payoff at the end.
Yes, that's true. Okay. So.
And in the series, our
that's
favorite.
True. That's true. So we're going to have to cut that one. Sorry, Tangled.
Oh, man.
You guys don't have a filler song.
I've got a dream. I've got a dream.
I just want to see the floating lanterns gleam. Okay. And then, and this one also is kind of like back and forth. Within the movie of Frozen, and if you're not looking at a sequel, but just within Frozen, Vuele, I think that one is a filler song. Even though they pay it off later in the second one, but it was almost an afterthought that they paid it off.
Oh, for sure. So they're like, oh, we should have like leaned more into this
Scandinavian
culture
this?
And we didn't. So sure. Yeah. Throw it there. That's great.
So would you count this?
You know, it's interesting. Filler. This isn't really I guess filler can come at the beginning. Filler can come in the middle. Filler can come at the end. When I think of filler, I think something in the middle. But this is the very first song. And this song's always interesting. It always feels like it was from like a distant, far off version of Frozen, but they kind of like kept it like, we've already had the song written, but it's filler. I mean, I don't understand how it progresses the plot at all. It's like, here's your title sequence. So if you didn't have it, you're good.
Well, and the fact that I said no title sequences or credit scenes, so that's probably going to
You wouldn't. Yeah, that's true. Because it's so short, so maybe that doesn't count. But you don't consider Frozen Heart to be a filler song? So let me clarify a question. Frozen Heart. Like, obviously, we learn about Kristoff and his backstory. You know, he's kind of an orphan. He's on his own. I guess we don't necessarily even need that. But does the song part have to actually do with the lyrics? Because what's happening with Kristoff is totally disconnected to the lyrics of that song. And I think this is a unique one because, normally they're connected. But this one, just like the ice cutting men are singing this song about a frozen heart, which again seems like a remnant from a previous version of Frozen. Yeah, the frozen heart does come to play, but I think it was a bigger part. It's just like, why are these guys singing this song?
Right.
Because like they're ice cutters. Why are they singing about a frozen heart and all that? I don't know. That song always kind of felt really out of place to me. But anyway, would that one be considered filler?
I mean,
because if we cut it out, we start with the girls. And we go into the movie, and then when they ride on the horses and they're going to the trolls, then Kristoff pops up.
Right.
And we're like, oh, he's alone. He's a little kid. Like, so I would say that one is totally filler.
Okay.
Because the frozen heart, like we figure out the frozen heart stuff later when it's explained to us by the characters after it happens.
Okay. I will add
so
that
for
in.
For me, that would be my better. That would be my pick. I think both of those are kind of filler.
Yeah.
But Frozen Heart for sure is more.
Okay. All right. And then the last movie, the most recent movie to have a filler song.
Well, yeah, with a song.
Would be Moana and Shine.
Oof. I hated this song so much when I first saw it. I was like, what is happening here? But I like it now.
I actually really like this song.
It's like a classic.
Yeah, it's... And it's also the guy from Flight of the Conchords, which makes me really happy as well. So it's like there's a lot of things that tie into my genuine liking of this song. But it's definitely filler in the fact that it doesn't do anything for like the main characters. It progresses the plot in a way. I don't know. Does it, though? Like, because they could have just gone, found the, well, whatever they were looking for, you know, somewhere else and not had a song, but he had to have a song. Or was he considered a villain? Should this be a villain song?
I think it technically is his villain song.
He's not the main villain of the story, which was a confusing thing. Yeah,
he's like just an antagonist they bump into along the way, kind of like the little coconut guys. And, yeah.
Okay. So I probably will end up moving that one over to the villain song then.
But is it a villain song? Yeah, it is. It is a villain song, as much as I would like to see it in here.
Because it's who I am.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I will make that change and move that over to the villain songs. Well, there we go. Those are all of the filler songs that I was able to find as I went through all 60 movies to find these songs. And the ones that I did skip were kind of the ones earlier on in the Disney franchise. So like Saludos Amigos, I felt like there's just, those are all, and like the Three Caballeros, Make My Music, Fun and Fancy Free, and Melody Time, and The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. I felt like those didn't really count because most of them are all music stuff, but they don't ever follow a musical type like format. They're just kind of like conglomerate song, like,
yeah,
they're just thrown together in a way. So I didn't really count those, also because I didn't really want to go back and listen to those. So I lied. There were 6 movies that I did not listen to the entire OST for. But here we go. For the main ones that are on your shelf, I did.
Nice.
Okay. So we're going to go through. And Morgan, would you like to go first or would you like me to go first?
You can go first.
All right. So my top 5 was really difficult to kind of pull together, but I'm going to go with my number 1 is Canine Crunchies.
Your number 1 is Canine Crunchies? First off, I love that song.
I love that song.
And even when I was little, I just always thought it was so catchy and upbeat and just fun.
Yeah.
But I'm thoroughly shocked that that's what you put for number 1.
Well, maybe it's not my number 1, but I think it is, just because it is almost the complete epitome of a filler song. Like it has nothing to do with anything other than they just watched this commercial and it was just fun, and it's something that's been in my head my entire life, basically.
Yes.
So that's Canine Crunchies. The next one is from a Goofy movie, Lester's Possum Farm. The next 3, I'm not sure if they're in order, but they're there, is I have Let Me Be Good to You, Scumps, and Les Poissons. So those were my top 5. And if I were to move on a little bit more, next would be April Showers, then Sweet Nightingale, Luau, and Trash in the Camp.
Okay. So I have my top 10. I'm going to go from 10 all the way to 1. Number 10, April Showers. It's good. It's classic. You know, it's Bambi.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, Trash in the Camp. Shoo-ba-doo, da-ba-da. Just nice. Every time you hear it, you can't help but love it. 8, Canine Crunchies for me. I, like I said, love this song growing up. I thought it was amazing. I can sing you all the lyrics, even the lyrics for the part where they cut away to the characters.
Oh, yeah.
And they're having dialogue over it, because I did have this soundtrack. Yes, I did. I bought it on eBay back in the day. So I know the whole lyrics for it. So obviously it had to make my list. Following the Leader. I like this song. It's pretty good. Meh. Yeah. So Following the Leader, I do like this song. Colonel Haiti, Jungle Book is fantastic, and I think this is just a really, really fun one. Now, my top 5. Number 5, Scumps. I love Sleeping Beauty so mm-hmm. much. And this song is just so different. It's so fun. It's a filler song, but it's a really good filler song. I can't explain it. It's just fun seeing these two guys just drink way too much wine and talk about their children right. in the process of doing so. And just the way that they continue to get drunker and drunker is hilarious. Number four, Let Me Be Good to You. I cannot explain how much of an impact this song had on me watching this film growing up. I just obsessed with that baby blue mouse. She is perfection. Okay. I need a sequel just with her. Okay. I want to know her backstory. Number three, Lester's Possum Park. Fun fact, my father-in-law's name is Lester.
Ooh.
And it's, yeah. Yodel, 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 yodel. Like, ah, I love it. I love it. It is so good. It is so weird. You feel Max's pain in that moment.
Yes.
And it's just a great little filler song. Number two and number one, this was, I didn't know which one was better, but you know what? I am going to put Sing Sweet Nightingale as the number two. This is really, really hard. I couldn't really decide, but that song is so classic. I love how off key they are. I love the way that it ends. Just everything about that song is perfection. The stepsisters are amazing. And number one, that leads me to the final one, Les Poissons.
Les Poissons. So
I feel the fact that every single millennial Disney fan kid can sing this word for word just goes to show the power of this movie, The Little Mermaid, but just how amazing this little song is. So that is my ranking.
That's our list, guys.
This was tons of fun.
I mean, it's just a weird list, but I love this list.
Mm-hmm. Chelsea, I am totally stealing all the hard work that you did for
this. I know
this,
you would.
I am going to repurpose this as a YouTube video. I think you just did special. Well, that sounds like I'm patronizing you. You did incredible. Sorry.
You're so special, Chelsea. You spent your entire Saturday doing this.
You're just so special for, you know, spending hours and hours on this little thing. No, you did incredible work on this. And yeah, I'm going to yoink it as good friends do and turn it into a YouTube video because I think this is really, really fun. And I'd love to go into this more. So, all right.
Well, I think you should be excited because our next Nerdy Couch discussion, or at least over the next series we have in front of us, we're going to do the best opening song, which I think I'll also just add in just best opening song in general, because some movies just start off with a really cool song, music or lyrics or not. So I think that's what I'm going to do. Another one is going to be the best villain song, and then the best I want song. And eventually we'll get into the best love song. So
awesome.
That's what we're going to be going at. I'm really excited to go through this series.
And before we go, I want to just remind you about our listener survey. This is the way that we're able to get feedback directly from you. What do you like about the podcast? What don't you like? Get your thoughts on ads and different things that we offer. This ultimately is going to, we're going to look at every single response and use it to help us craft a better show for you, find better advertisers that are a better fit for our audience, and just have a better feel of who's listening, who is our new group of friends. We want to thank you for listening to this show. Let us know your favorite filler songs. I am looking forward to the comments on Instagram on what you guys thought of this discussion, what you liked, what you didn't like. Was there something that we missed? Let us know on Instagram.
All right, until next time,
we are the Rotoscopers. I thought it was, let's see. Maybe I know that Rosie's singing it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Trash in the Camp. Ah, the old Disney wiki. NSYNC. Other performers, Phil Collins and NSYNC. Oh, this is not helpful. Disney wiki, you're the worst. I don't. Okay, Tarzan OST. I just need the track list. What? Trash in the Camp's not even on this. Ugh. If you need something right, you got to do it yourself. So there is. Oh.
So all right.
Sorry,
then
that will probably be bloopers. So just say.
Yeah.
I am Pippa. Well, sometimes I call you Pippa, and I think because I'm always yelling at her. Not yelling, but yeah. Like, Pippa, do this. Pippa,
right,
you know.
Right.
You've been listening to the Animation Addicts podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you want to help spread the word, be sure to share the podcast with your friends on social media. Just don't forget to tag us at Rotoscopers on Instagram and use the hashtag AnimationAddicts. For all the links and full show notes for this episode, go to rotoscopers.com/podcast. Now, if you still can't get enough for your animation fix, be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube and visit rotoscopers.com for more animation news, reviews, and interviews. Thanks for listening.